Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Today's episode is part two of our three-part series on how to get your life admin sorted in 2023. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, we did do an interview with our guest on why it's important to get your life admin sorted. So this time, we wanted to talk about the cents and dollars, how to streamline your household to save. And again, our guest is Mia Northrup, co-author of Life Admin Hacks. Welcome to Friends with Money, Mia, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's great to be back, Michelle.
Yes. Now, you got me thinking last time about the password manager and just streamlining that. So I've got that ticked. And
great.
I now have a new email. I have my admin email. Now, with the hour of power or power hour, still kind of sorting that out, but hopefully I'll get there.
Oh, good for you. I'm glad to see you put some of this stuff into practice and hopefully reaping the benefits.
Yes, it's the mental load, you know, getting rid of that mental burden, as you said.
Yeah.
So now we want to get down to the nitty-gritty of this and really help our listeners save hundreds of dollars, hopefully, or even thousands of dollars on their household expenses. So shall we get straight into it? I want to ask you, what are the regular household activities that you think make the most of our time and money?
Yeah. So we have a section of the book that really focuses on streamlining your household because you do want to have this rhythm to the week, to the month, where things tick over smoothly. And there are a few aspects of this that do actually pay off in terms of your finances. So we had dedicated a good chunk of time to talk about decluttering, for example. And decluttering is one of those things that due to various books and television shows has become very front of mind for a lot of people, but they don't realize it's actually a way to save money. We also can think about meal planning and the way we do grocery shopping. So reducing waste of food, having a clear sense of how food will be used so that we're not wasting it, and also approaching grocery shopping in a more efficient way so that we're buying in bulk, for example, we're buying specials of our favorite things to save money. We can also talk about outsourcing. So a lot of people get meal kits, for example, they'll have a gardener, they'll get people to help with home improvement tasks. There's a whole range of things you can outsource. And depending on your time money equation and how much kit you might need to buy to do something yourself around the time, sometimes it is more economical to actually get someone in to help you out. So there's some of the things we can explore today.
So you talked about decluttering, and I think we've both watched episodes of Marie Kondo's decluttering reality TV show on Netflix. Tell us a little bit more about household decluttering and how that can save you time and money.
Those decluttering shows are so addictive because everyone loves a good before and after kind of makeover show. And you can make over your own home in that same way. So we've actually found that one of the benefits of decluttering is realizing what you have, because you're going through all of your belongings, you're rediscovering what you actually own. This is going to make you less likely to buy new stuff. So you're saving money because you've realized, oh, I forgot I had a bag back there full of winter clothes, or I've got a kid's cupboard full of toys that they don't even use. Let's bring some out and cut that bill. So you're going to avoid buying things that you don't actually need. You're going to avoid rebuying things that you can't actually find. So sometimes if there's a lot of clutter, you've stashed an item somewhere and you can't locate it and you have to go and buy it again, which is just, you know, an actual definition of a waste of money. You might have even forgotten you had it. So these are a few benefits of decluttering. Decluttering brings an immense peace of mind, a lot of household harmony, but you're also going to save money in that way. And you're also going to be living more sustainably. You know, you might be donating things, upcycling things, finding new uses for things you have around the home. So there is an economy to decluttering as well.
Yes, I'm a big fan of making sure all my Christmas stuff are like three boxes, just kind of at the back of the shed. And I feel so kind of chuffed that I've got it all organized, because before you know it, Christmas comes around. It's like, I don't have to buy all these new things. It's there. And things like stationery as well. Mm-hmm. And I remember during the first round of COVID lockdown, I had to store quite a few stuff into boxes, and I had an Excel sheet. So I was able to control find where they were. And felt like, all right, that, you know, that's good.
That's next level. That's next level, Michelle.
Is that next level?
That's great.
Because remember, during the first round of lockdown, we just didn't know how often we could go to the shops.
Yeah.
So I never bought anything in the past. And then I'm like, maybe I should have more cans of goods. But to this day, I still have a few jars of sauerkraut that I never got to use.
It's very good for you. Get in there.
That's for another episode. Now, you talked about meal planning and buying groceries. And I think there was a Reddit post about how a bag of groceries that used to cost $30 now cost $80. So this is really important for a lot of households right now to try and save. Tell us a little bit more about how you've done it. You know, your meal plans and, you know, grocery shopping.
Yeah. Well, I was one of those notorious shoppers who I'd just turn up at the supermarket, buy what looked good and interesting and what I was inspired by on the day, and then get home and be like, can I actually construct a meal out of any of this? And a week later, there'd be some limp bit of corn and a sad looking bit of lettuce. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you're going in the compost. Like, it's just a waste. So I was also one of those people who I'm not a particularly good cook. So this was a real kind of epiphany about how liberating and actually empowering it is to do some planning and go to the store with a list, knowing exactly what I'm going to cook. And this is a key way of saving money, in terms of you can plan what you're going to be buying. You can plan to shop on specials. You can plan to buy seasonally. And you know that you're not going to be wasting food. Because there's also, you know, I think we've seen in Money Magazine, we've talked about in the past, the idea that you can pick to go to a certain supermarket chain that you feel is cheaper. Not everyone has the range of supermarkets around them where they can make that choice. So meal planning is another way that you can control your grocery costs. The other thing is, as you said, you know, in terms of COVID, a lot of us started buying in bulk. If you can buy multi-packs of things, if you can buy in bulk when things are on special and you have storage to put things aside, that's an excellent way of keeping those grocery costs down. Going to buy at bulk source places where there's no packaging, you're bringing your own jars or bags to fill up. Sometimes they're also very economical to shop that way. So these little things are really in your control. If whatever the prices are doing at the various supermarkets, these approaches can help you minimize those costs too.
And how do you get your family involved? Do you kind of sit down with your partner or your kids to do the meal plan? And how long does that take?
My kids, I have two primary school age children who have very unadventurous palates, really. They don't even realize they're on a fortnightly menu that just rotates the same thing every 2 weeks, and they barely realize. So we kind of talk about, we change it up once a school term, like once a quarter, talk about what everyone wants to eat and what they might like to make. So sometimes we do have meal kits coming in, the HelloFreshes and the Marley Spoons, if we're going through a particular busy couple of months or period. And we choose recipes when those things come around that they like to cook, because it's all portion controlled and the instructions are crystal clear. So we'll have a talk every couple of months about what we're liking to eat, what we want to try, and that will go on the meal plan. So I would plan 6 meals out of 7. Friday night in our household is always pizza night. That's just a tradition that we have. Mm-hmm. We've attempted making them. That's been rejected. We're back to ordering them. But we sort of think about the categories for each night. So Tuesday is taco night. Wednesday, we have pasta. We don't know what kind of pasta. That's what changes seasonally, but it's going to be pasta. And so we think about the categories that we have each night so that we're not having to think up a wonderful variety of meals just sort of out of the blue. It's kind of the clincher to meal planning is to think in categories.
And do you buy seasonal fruits and vegetables? Is that a way to save as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of reasons. Obviously, there's the financial aspect of just buying what's cheap when it's plentiful, but also just savoring things that are just around for a short period of time. Like I saw watermelon. Watermelon comes into the supermarket way too early for my liking. It's still Arctic in Melbourne. I know it's summer officially, but, you know, I'm so happy when watermelon comes properly into season and I can celebrate that it's stone fruits. It feels that summery vibe. And then, you know, as we move into autumn and winter, and you get the different fruits, the apples and the pears and the kiwis and all the citrus comes. And it's just a nice way to actually mark the seasons and the fact that the world is changing, the weather is changing. It's lovely to eat in tune with nature.
I have a feeling that a lot of our listeners are already doing a little bit of meal planning, and we are all incredibly conscious now of the costs. Like someone was chatting to me a few weeks ago about how when you go to one of the supermarkets and the tuna is on sale, it used to be 80 cents, 90 cents, but now it's $1.45. And I'm like, I've known this person for many years. And I'm like, since when did you start looking at like the price of tuna on sale? But we're definitely of that mindset. But one thing that not a lot of people do is outsourcing household chores. So I thought we would just kind of wrap this episode up with this third tip on outsourcing household chores. Any kind of hacks there?
Yeah, outsourcing is actually probably the most controversial topic we've talked about in our community, because people feel that it can be kind of indulgent or just for the privilege to outsource things. But it's also a very kind of gendered topic, because there are some areas of things that we outsource that you wouldn't blink about getting some help in. So, you know, if you need someone to come and clean the gutters or mow the lawn, these are traditionally male jobs. These are traditionally things that you'd get some help with without blinking. But things like making your kid's dream birthday cake or organizing the family photo album, which are traditionally women's roles, people are like, oh, really? You didn't just, you know, do that yourself? There's always this pressure of time, time, time. What can I squeeze in? What can I do? There's also the aspect of what do I have the skills to do and what do I have the gear to do? And often when it comes to actually saving money by outsourcing, it's avoiding having to go to Bunnings or wherever and equipping yourself with a whole bunch of stuff that you might use once a year or once and never do again. And, you know, instead of having someone come in who has all that equipment and kit and probably do a better job of you at whatever that chore is. So when I think about outsourcing, you need to actually compare not just the fact that you could do it yourself and assume that it's no cost, and that when you have someone else do it, there's a cost. When you're doing it yourself, you might actually need to fork out to buy the gear to do it. And there's also the opportunity cost of what else you could be doing with your time. And for people who are in busy seasons of life where they've got small children, not a lot of time for exercise or their own social life or their own self-care, sometimes that is actually too high a price to pay in terms of trying to do everything yourself and potentially leading to burnout, just getting stressed and anxious and feeling like you've got no time for yourself. So, yes, I'd love people to think about outsourcing as not just it's free if I do it and I will pay for someone else. You're actually buying yourself time. You might be buying yourself peace of mind. You might be saving yourself money on actually buying kit. And you're not losing out on that opportunity cost of how else you might be using that time.
Fantastic. And what I use Airtasker a lot for odds and ends, whether it's for software development or putting a cabinet together, you know, little things like that. Certainly the time factor where you only have the weekend to spend it with family. I mean, with me, it's also with my elderly parents and just having that day with them instead of having to do all this, you know, household chores. So I think that would be the challenge that I would like to pose to our listeners, because not a lot of people really consider outsourcing as a way to save time and money.
And it's a great time of year. It's the start of the year. Think about, how do you want to spend your year? Where would you like to be winding back something or do a little bit less of something? Where would you like to be making more time in your life? And maybe there's some benefit there to outsourcing particular tasks, even if it's just for a period of time. It doesn't have to be forever.
Good idea. Now, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. But again, really lovely chatting with you on this topic, how to streamline your household to save time and money.
Thank you, Michelle.
Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics that you'd like me to discuss with Mia in our next episode through our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. We hope that you can join us for our third and last episode on these three-part life admin series, where we will talk about how to get your affairs in order. And we'll talk about taxes, maybe a little bit about estate planning, but it's all about adulting. So that's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.